This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
In 1976, I had the privilege of taking a trip to the Bible lands, and that was a trip of a lifetime. It may be that some of you that are watching now have been there several times, but I've not had that opportunity, only one trip. But I think about it often as I'm studying the Bible and I study about different places in the Bible. But I believe the highlight of the entire trip was the day that after we had seen the ruins of where the city of Capernaum used to be, that the guide took us to the site over the Sea of Galilee on a little slope there, and we were sitting there, and he began to explain that it was somewhere in that region that Jesus sat down and taught the greatest sermon that has ever been delivered, and we refer to it as the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be discussing a series of lessons entitled Moments on the Mount. And in that series, we're going to be talking about the Beatitudes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and I want to welcome you today, and please stay tuned as we discuss Moments on the Mount. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And in order that you might know more about the course, we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
No storm can hide that greatest peaceful being since Jesus came to seek and save.
I want to call your attention now to the 5th chapter of Matthew, verse 6, as we continue our study today of Moments on the Mount. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, the word heart is used in the Bible in several different ways to describe a particular faculty of the soul. So sometimes the word heart is used to describe how we think, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 4:23. It is also used to describe purpose. Daniel purposed in his heart, Daniel 1 in verse 8. So sometimes the word heart is used to describe our ability to remember. Psalms 119 verse 9, thy word have I hid in my heart. And then sometimes the word heart is used to describe our understanding. As Jesus said in Matthew 13 and 15, lest they should understand in their heart and be converted. Sometimes the word heart is used to describe our emotions, such emotions as love. You know, Jesus said we're to love God with all of our heart in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And sometimes the word heart is used to describe our ability to use our freedom of choice, it's a volitional power, and where we obey or disobey Paul in Romans 6 talked about obeying from the heart the form of doctrine that had been delivered them. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, especially in the Beatitudes, Jesus taught that the way to happiness is by purity of heart. Let me read it again. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, the word pure comes from a Greek word katharsis that's used some 28 times in the New Testament. And that word katharsis is the root word of katharize, or the word katharsis, and one is a medical term, and the other is a psychological term. But to be something is katharized, it's purified. Sometimes those that are counselors use the catharsis method of counseling. What I mean by that, that they let an individual just sit there and talk and get it out of their system. They purge, as it were, their system, the thoughts in their minds, what's in their heart, they get it out. And so Jesus used this word, pure in heart. And the word pure means clean, unsoiled. It means guiltless, innocent, sincere. The word also means void of evil, and it means unmixed. If you're drinking pure milk, that means that there's nothing in that milk that would cause it to be impure. Now, the purity of people, or the idea that people in Jesus' day had of purity, was strictly just following a ritual. Jesus said, people draw nigh to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They were just carrying out a ritual, and they thought that they were pure. It's possible to think of purity strictly in terms of those things that are external. An individual may read their Bible every day. They may attend every worship service the church has, that they may pray every day, that they may do a lot of charitable things and still be lacking in purity of heart. To be pure in heart, please listen to me now carefully, we must be like our example of purity, and that's Jesus. That there was no uncleanness in Jesus. That there was no evil in Jesus. Jesus did not have an admixture of evil things in his life. Jesus is the only individual ever lived on the face of this earth who lived a pure life, a totally pure life. And we need to follow Jesus' example. For example, Paul wrote in Philippians 2:5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if we can have his mind, his attitude, his disposition, is going a long way toward us living a life of purity. What was Jesus like? Why, Jesus had a heart of humility. He emptied himself in the form of a servant, Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2. He had a loving heart because he said that greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life not just for the people that he liked, but it would be for his friends. He not only died for people that were his friends and his close associates, but Jesus even died for people that are not his friends. We need to have a loving heart. If we're going to be like Jesus, we must have a forgiving heart. He even prayed for those who crucified him, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If we're to be like Jesus, we must have an unselfish heart. In the Roman letter, the 15th chapter, Paul said, Christ please not himself. He didn't live for self. So many people in the 21st century, and you know I'm telling you the truth, they're living for self. We need to have an unselfish heart, and we need to live for Jesus and for others. Self ought to come last. And then we need to have an obedient heart. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all of people that would obey him. That's what the writer of the Hebrew letter wrote in the 5th chapter of Hebrews. So this is a big order. You say, well, you're talking about trying to live up to perfection. That's our goal, absolutely. But I wanted to tell you, it can be done. With Jesus, it can be done. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We get our strength to live a life of purity, not from within ourselves, but we get it from the Lord himself. You know, in living the Christian life, we don't walk alone. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 28:20, after Jesus had just given the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he said, I am with you. I am with you. How long, Jesus? Even unto the end of the ages, or the end of the world, Jesus will be with us. And so we can do it. I know we can do it. And today there's not a greater need than for people to start following these principles taught in the Beatitudes. And the one that we're talking about today, number 6 in our series, is blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's a big order. But we have the Lord's help with us. Well, you say, well, in what areas do we need to be pure in heart? That's going to require that we strive for moral purity. Now, I know that sounds so strange in the world that we live in today, because there's so much immorality around us today, isn't there? And it concerns us. It concerns us for our children. It concerns us for what they're going to be taught in the future about purity, moral purity. And unfortunately, some are not being taught to live morally pure lives. You know, Peter's quoting an Old Testament passage when he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, to be holy, for I am holy. That's God speaking. You try to live a holy life because I'm a holy God. And it is our responsibility to strive to live a morally pure life. Now here's where we are today. Many people are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bible is not true. As a matter of fact, they think the Bible is completely out of date, that the Bible is just an antique that comes from the ages gone by, and they have no regard for the Bible and the principles taught in the Bible whatsoever. I think it's a sad thing, and it must break God's heart to know that there are children right now living in homes, number one, where there is no Bible, not one single copy of the Bible. I'm sure that many of you watching right now have multiple copies of the Bible in your home, and you read it regularly. But there are young people that are reared in homes, and there is no Bible, there's no Bible teaching, there are no principles of right and wrong being taught in those homes. And so if we're going to live morally pure lives, we've got to be taught the Bible. that they think that you just live, that the rules of the road are relative, and that the Bible is an obsolete book. I read on a page on my Facebook one time that a survey was done of young people in America about their attitude about living a morally pure life. And only 6% of those who were surveyed thought that the Bible was the standard to live a morally pure life. I would like to think that stat is wrong, wouldn't you? Because that would mean that 94% of our kids in America are not being taught moral values. But if you believe that truth is relative, I dare you to get in an airplane with a pilot who believes in the relativity of rules. And it doesn't make any difference how you fly an airplane. Or have surgery done by a doctor who believes that the rules regulating surgery are just sort of relative. You can do it any way you want to do it. You see, we want things done right. Or if you believe that the rules of the road are relative and that there's no rules to tell you how to live a good life, a morally pure life, get in your automobile and get on the highway in the state of Alabama or most any state that I know of and drive as much as fast as that automobile will go. I know my wife drives one. Now, let me tell you, she's a good driver and a safe driver and a legal driver. That is, she tries to do the limit, the speed limit. But on her odometer, it says it'll go 160 miles an hour. You try driving that fast and you will soon learn that you're going to have a light behind you and it's going to be a blue light. And he's going to pull you over and give you a ticket. Maybe take your license from you, may carry you to jail. Because when they say that the speed limit on the interstate is 75, they do not mean 160. It's not relative. Truth is absolute. And there are some absolute rules to live by in life that helps us to live a morally pure life. And let me encourage you, if you've not been reading your Bible, studying your Bible, you say, well, I've had one since I was a teenager. And I have it somewhere. It's packed away somewhere. Well, go find it and open it up and begin to read that book again because it's going to help you to live a good life. Do you remember a verse that I read in the very beginning? Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want you to try to imagine something. I want you to try to imagine that I have in my hand a wire wastebasket. Now, I know I don't have one, but try to imagine it. Use your imagination a little bit. Now, what would you think if I told you that I was going to fill this wire wastebasket full of water? Well, you say, well, I'd think you'd lost your mind. Why? Well, because you'll never fill it up full of water. By the time you pour it in, it's going out. But I'll tell you what I would have. If I were to start doing that, I'd have the cleanest wire wastebasket found anywhere if I just kept pouring water through it. Now you say, well, Brother Lambert, I don't remember everything I read in the Bible. I don't either. But let me tell you what you're doing. When you filter the pure Word of God through your mind and through your spiritual man and your heart. That pure word helps to remove the impurities out. And it causes you to start thinking on things that are pure. You remember Solomon said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if we think evil things, we're going to do evil things, and we'll have evil thoughts in our minds. And those evil thoughts eventually will lead to evil practices. I think now Paul's statement over in Philippians 4, I think it's somewhere down around verse 8, where he said, if there's any virtue, if there is any praise, think on these things. And one of the things he mentions were things that are pure. Things that are pure. If you'll start thinking on things that are pure, you'll start doing things that are pure. But you've got to get the impurity out of your heart, your mind, to think on evil, to think on not evil things, but pure things, good things. You know, if a man sits around in his room, maybe he just lives by himself in a real tiny apartment, and he never sees anybody, but he gets to thinking about a bank. And how it would be to go into a bank and demand money and frighten the teller. My oldest daughter worked in a bank for many years. Her first job out of college was in a bank. And someone came in one day with a gun, with a mask, and demanded money. And she gave it to them. What he did not know is that he also got a dye pack. And within an hour and a half, the police had him in custody. But if you sit around and you think about robbing a bank long enough, let me tell you what's going to happen. If you think about it long enough and you meditate on it long enough, eventually you're going to do something about it. You're going to go try it. But I recommend that you don't do that, because first of all, it is against the law, and you're going to be caught. And you're going to spend a lot of time in prison. And it may be that if you tried with a gun, it could even cost you your life. So don't think about doing it. If a man looks at smutty pictures, or if he watches smutty things and he begins to think about those things that are wrong and evil, he begins to think about looking at nude pictures and the like, if he's not careful, eventually looking at all of that is going to lead to what Peter wrote about when he said there are those that have eyes full of adultery. It will lead to the act. That's the reason Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. We need to be pure in our looks. We need to look on good things. Job said he had made a covenant with his eyes not to look upon a maid. And that meant he was not looking it up on her with lust. And so we need to practice what Jesus is teaching us about being pure in our heart. I even think we ought to be pure in dress. What about you? Oh, you say, now, Brother Lambert, you are so old-fashioned. And I know I'm an older preacher than some preachers that you watch. And then some, I've not tried to camouflage at least my age. Some, you know, try to camouflage their age in some ways with hair dye and things like that. What you see is what you get with Billy. But let me tell you something. The way we dress ourselves is extremely important. It's important. You know, talk about modesty today, and people think you're from the Stone Age. Because people seemingly care very little about how they dress. I live in the Deep South, and I live 10 miles away from a beach. And people go to the beach, and they strip down. They take their clothes off, almost all of them, at least, on the beach. Wear very little and think nothing about it. But I believe the Bible teaches that we ought to be modest in the way we dress ourselves. Read 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, where women are told to adorn themselves in modest apparel. And I think if you look at the context, there were those that were immodest in Paul's day because they were overdressing. And they were wearing things that drew attention to themselves. That's what modesty means, that if I'm modest, I'm dressing in a way that it doesn't draw attention to me. But you see, if I am not dressing in a good way, in a modest way, I might cause someone else to stumble and cause them to fall. Be pure in your dress. Pure in your heart by having a heart that has been converted to Jesus. Let me tell you, you've got to be converted to Jesus by believing on Him and by repenting of all your sins and by confessing that you believe in Him. And then as a penitent, confessing believer in Jesus, submit to water baptism that puts you into a relationship with Christ. You're in a saved relationship with Christ. Have you ever wondered in Acts 8 when Philip baptized the man from Ethiopia why he went on his way rejoicing? I heard an evangelist on television say once when he talked about this, he went on his way rejoicing because now he was saved and now he was a Christian. Absolutely. If you're not a Christian, may I encourage you to become one today. And now, would you call for the free Bible course right now? Pick up your telephone. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.